Jesus is once again teaching from a boat. The huge crowd gathered around. And he's teaching by means of stories. And people remember these stories, you know. But in another gospel, we see that the disciples took Jesus aside after this teaching was all finished and said, explain this to us, would you? We had a Bible study on Tuesday, and we spent a whole hour digging into this gospel, and we just barely touched the surface. It's so interesting. But I asked a question, so why is it that the disciples waited until later to ask that question? Anybody know the answer to that? Huh? They didn't want to look stupid. They didn't want to look stupid. That was, yeah. They're supposed to be the insiders, you know. Hey, what's that mean? So nobody asked the question. But they did ask some good questions. Why do you speak in parables? They didn't ask what's a parable, because they knew what a parable was. Jesus spoke in stories. He was trying to get at very deep concepts by using language that we could understand. It shows his humanity. It shows his creativity. A parable, by definition, looks for an answer. You want to remember it. It's meant to be remembered and put into practice in our lives. And this week, I got to thinking, isn't our life itself a parable? Aren't our lives a collection of stories? Some very interesting and many of them very routine. But we are all looking for meaning in life. We want to find the meaning of the stories that happen. Is God at work here? What is he saying? Oftentimes we don't see it until many years have gone by. But if we have been working with these gospel stories, we will find we have a tool to look into our own lives and see where God was sending all these graces, raining them down, like the first reading said. And we won't miss quite as many of them. This gospel should be taken home and look at it each week, each day, to see what kind of field that we are. This gospel almost invites me to talk about my eyes. It talks all about the blind seeing and those with ears don't hear anything. Those with eyes do not see because they don't want to see. They've closed their eyes. Christ was ready to explain the parable to those who didn't want to understand. 2 weeks ago, I went home and from the office, and I told my secretary that I thought I was going blind. And the next morning, I woke up and I was about a fourth missing my vision. I thought it was glaucoma. I didn't know anything about this. Didn't have a clue. So I called Kaiser Permanente, and they got me right in, which is another miracle, like the second coming of Christ. And the doctor that looked at me is from Queen of Peace. And as a matter of fact, he looks in my eye. I said, I just was checked out 10 days ago by one of our parishioners, and I was fine. You know, there was nothing to see. And he said, well, there's something to see now. You've got six tears in your retina. And he said, there's somebody waiting to operate on you at OHSU as soon as you get there. And I said, well, never mind what I said. But it starts with holy. That's all I'm going to tell you. So I drove myself home, because I had driven myself to Kaiser. And then Paul Cook took me down to OHSU. When I got there, forgive me if you've heard this story, but I got there and they said, well, we can't operate on you because you've eaten. You must wait because you could choke to death. So I sat in the waiting room. The place was closed. It was the KCI Institute, huge building. I was the only one in there, emergency surgery. And Paul went home because it was an 8 or 9 hour wait, you know, and I had a book there. And I went blind in the waiting room. It was like a curtain of darkness that passed over my eye, and I realized I couldn't see faces anymore, and then all I could see was a little light in the corner. And so it was a choice of either choking to death or going blind. I don't know which one you would have chosen. But so finally, when I got in, you see, you have to catch this in 24 hours or you'll go blind. And before the 1930s, you did go blind with this. It's wonderful to live in the modern era. When I came out of the surgery, they'd given me some amnesia drugs, but they told me that I said some very interesting things, so hopefully I find out what they were. But you see, the thing is though, that's an extreme story. I think that my whole life was a preparation for something like that. It has as much meaning as this gospel does. I will be looking for meaning in that experience for the rest of my life. You have not lived until you have been blind, even for a couple of hours in one eye, to look out of my eye and see nothing. It is a life-changing experience, I can tell you. I am very aware of the fragility of life. But I'll tell you what the first thing I learned was. What all of you have learned, if you're gravely ill or if somebody dies, what's important, right? Suddenly you know immediately what matters. I want to call my family. I had a dead cell phone. Could not call them. I want my health back that I took for granted until that very day. And I want a relationship with God. Are you here, God? And so these words are invested with meaning. How many people with perfect eyes, they do not realize how fortunate they are? He says, you people, 2,000 years ago, you are looking at the Son of God. God Almighty Himself is speaking to you with His own voice for only 3 years, and you are not interested. And people come here year after year and hear this gospel, and it doesn't sink in. It is as if the birds came and ate it, because those people just were not interested. Is it the Lord? I am not interested in you. I want nothing you have to offer, and the seeds completely go to waste. And our Lord tells us, for those who respond to a small grace, a small seed, more seeds will be given, because they'll recognize them. If I say yes to God in a small area, God will provide even more until you go rich. If I keep saying no to God's graces more and more, I will not recognize them until I have nothing but a crop of weeds. Some people have a field full of stone. They're very enthusiastic about the faith. But when the summer comes and the heat settles in St. Edward Church, they say, honey, it's too hot, let's not go to church today. But you can't be planted in the Lord's garden if you're not there through all the seasons. People with stones in their yard are like, Good Time Charlies or Fairweather Friends. They won't be there when it's tough. You see this in marriage, don't you? We have to be committed in all the seasons of life, not just the ones where we're full of, passion and love, and it's when it's tough. Same with priesthood. Yesterday was my 11th anniversary of ordination. It's not always roses. Sometimes there's a lot of thorns attached to it. And then there's the one that we all are probably most familiar with, the field full of thorns. A person with thorns in their life wants to respond to God, has listened, has understood, has seen, but they have too much to do. It's the kind of person that's on the internet all day long or watches 8 hours of television but hasn't had time to pray. Or they legitimately have many things to do, but God keeps getting put down at the bottom. They've got their priorities mixed up. Hopefully, if they go through a major incident, their priorities will get rearranged and their families will come closer to the top. their faith will come to the top. Maybe they'll start living differently. Notice only one in four is going to bear fruit. And of those that bear fruit, so only a few are going to really produce. So our Lord tells us, I am the sower of the seed. I'm the one who rains down all these good things in your life. I think our Lord is inviting us to look at how we respond to God during this week, because we'll find ourselves in all four of these fields, you know. And this gospel invites us to take it home and make it our own. And if we do, we will find that many of the stories of our own lives will begin to make sense. You will find the Lord has been speaking all your life in parables. No, he doesn't give us an explanation immediately. He wants us to wrestle with it, to use the gospel, to use our conscience, to find the meaning of the stories of our lives. And in Christ, in his parables, we will find the meaning of the stories of our lives.